News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:07. And yeah, going to be really hot again today. Probably didn't have to frame it to you in that way. You knew. Also, Dr. Bill says by Thursday, not that it's going to be an extreme additional heat layered on, but we could hit a heat index of 110.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of notable on Thursday of this week.
Yeah, but nothing new to most of us down here.
Nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new under the sun, that's for sure. Hey, I did want to, I didn't get to this in my sports report. I meant to. I wanted to get to it at some point this morning, but congratulations, Alabama's Special Olympics volleyball team.
Okay.
Won the gold medal for the 2026 Special Olympics USA Games in Minnesota. We had Team Alabama competing last week in Division I traditional volleyball. They went all the way up to University of Minnesota's 3M Arena.
Wow.
And won gold. And Goodwill Gulf Coast, which I guess one of their employees is a member of the team, they, along with a lot of others, posting online this weekend, attaboy, attagirl, congratulations, the Special Olympics volleyball team bringing home gold. And they came back to Mobile Saturday, but they've been doing volleyball in Special Olympics competition since 1983.
Wow.
The World Games in Baton Rouge. Can you imagine being there for that? But congratulations to the Alabama Special Olympics volleyball team, bringing home the gold.
Good to go. Way to go. Also get into maybe the Mystics a little bit this hour. There's a couple of numbers that are interesting, I think. Well, it's almost like the same number, and the number is 2,000. There seems to be some things different with the launch of this team than there was, and I guess there should be, right? I mean, mm-hmm. The city's changed. Different with this team than when they became the Mystics back in the 90s.
So it's 98, is that when they showed up? I think they were like 98 to 03 or something like that.
I think it was earlier than 98, closer to 95, 1995.
Okay, all right.
Team averaged 5,310 fans that first season. By the end, they dropped to about 2,500 was the average.
So I was 4 during that first launch, and my family, we moved down 2000, early 2000, I want to say, to Grove Hill. And I was a big hockey fan coming from Nashville, where I was able to play peewee hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And so I loved it. And you had the Predators there, too. But we were excited, obviously, about the Mystics, and we came to several games. But I wasn't here for the launch. So how fired up were people back in 95, I wonder, about hockey coming to town? That had to be, I mean, just brand new. It hadn't proliferated the way it has since, where you have all these different minor league teams in Florida and Georgia. And
yeah, I think it's so the landscape, the environment is different in that way. Probably a lot more move-ins in Baldwin County that may be more familiar with the game since Baldwin County's grown so much. So you'd have people that would certainly, come across the old convenient Bayway and come to the new Regions Arena. You've got a brand new arena. I think that's got a lot to do with it, too. People are excited just to go to the arena for whatever reason. But the 2000s that I mentioned, one was in a story earlier that they had this, they had the thing, it was it late last week at the Civic Center, they had the
2 weeks ago
the launch.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago they announced the launch.
Okay.
Mystics are coming back, and they had, I think, over 2,000 people
that. That's what it seems to be, which I was like, how did that happen? I talked to, I don't want to say where this person works because I don't want to get him in any hot water, but they
the White House.
But I was like, do you think that there were actually 2,000 people at that? And she was like, I don't know. She said she was not there. But it was like, I could see if it's 2,000 people that were coerced to be there or forced to be there. That just seems like a lot of people turning out for a Mobile event, out of the blue. I don't know. Tell me I'm wrong on the text line, 251-343-0106.
Yeah. So, and I'm trying to find the exact number for how many were there. I don't want to say it was a hard 2,000, but I think that number keeps popping up quite a bit because for the poll, for what name to name the organization and most of the entries said Mystics. There were over 2,000 entries for that. But I know reading Tommy Hicks' article over at Lanyap that he spoke with someone with Zollier Sports and Entertainment who said for the ticket down payment, where they don't have tickets available yet, but you can put, I believe it was $100 down to get on the list.
And yeah, I think the article here's got it wrong at 50. I think it's $100 is what I heard.
And you get priority season tickets if you go ahead and put that down payment. And there were over 2,000 that signed up for that. So there is some hunger, some interest.
There is some interest.
Yeah.
That got my attention. 2,000 residents of our area online put in $100 each to say, yeah, I not only am I excited the team's coming, I'm going to invest in it right now. Really not being completely aware where it's not like you're choosing your seat or anything like that. Maybe that is later in the process.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But the fact that 2,000 people put $100 down that you cannot recoup, I believe, that says something.
Yeah, the John Sharp article from June 16th said over 2,300 people were in attendance at the convention center for that unveil 2 weeks ago.
Who are those knuckleheads?
That's a good question. Really good question.
I mean, I'm just messing around here, but that's a lot of people to go to an event like this if you did not pad the numbers by sending organizations and volunteer groups there. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that might be how they, you know, get the attendance in too. And I know they talked about several of their plans, including a military appreciation night, which they expect will do well because it's, and what they have here is all your sports is the benefit of having teams in locations that are very similar to Mobile. I mean, whether it's Savannah or Jacksonville. So they know that for them there, military appreciation night works. And they also, with one of their 30 home games, will have it earlier in the day so that schools can have kids get out, have a little field trip down to the new Mobile Arena to watch some hockey. But I think what they're really banking on for this is, and I haven't heard a whole lot of talk about this since the big announcement that they were coming, bringing hockey back to Mobile, is that there would be a second rink, like a second sheet of ice, and I don't believe it'll be in the same arena. I think they're going to have to find, somewhere else for this, right? The way that I'm picturing it, but a year-round sheet of ice where you can have people come out and skate, you know, just for funsies or take skating lessons, or maybe even some minor league hockey and help try to build the game that way, where if you have people actively participating in rec league hockey or kids playing hockey.
You just naturally would want to go to the games then.
Naturally.
Makes sense.
Yeah, want to do that. Or for, you know, the end of the year, we have Thanksgiving all the way through the New Year's where ice skating can be a fun wintertime activity and have events kind of based around that. That all makes perfect sense to me. I haven't heard much about that since they initially announced that that was part of the plan last year. Now, this texter says, I was there at the Mystic launch, and yes, there were at least 2,000 people there, and mostly just fans. A lot of Mystics jerseys that were out for
I was not expecting that. I've been here since 95, exactly 95. I think when I came, they were already maybe it was the first year, or maybe it was the second year. I got down in June of 95. So I would not have expected that at all. Because remember, it was at the height of the excitement, 95, where they were drawing larger crowds. By the end, they were not.
Mm-hmm.
So why would this all of a sudden be such a grassroots turnout? And just a level of enthusiasm, I'm happy about it. I'm not saying I'm not, but that number just... So the number, I was questioning it a little bit as far as people at that launch. Texts are saying, no, Dan, you're wrong. Okay. But what backs that up is people actually pulling out their visa and committing to, you know, season tickets.
Also, think about this. How many snowbirds have moved to Baldwin County since...
Yeah.
2005.
A lot.
Whenever the Mystics last ended.
Yeah.
And how many of them came from Michigan, Maine, you know, all the northern, northeastern states, and they won't mind crossing the Bayway for a little bit of minor league hockey action. Josh said he was there for real. At least 1,500 people were there,
That's great.
And also added the line for merchandise was stretched from the front of the atrium to the back twice.
Amazing.
Texter here, though, asks the same question I'm sure many people have been asking. Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this again when it didn't work before? Well, and maybe, I mean, let's say you have a, and there's plenty of places like this, even right around this studio, but you have a location, and that location should do good business for blank, right? And right here, you would think restaurants would do fine. You have all of these hotels around. You're right at 65, an airport.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason that a restaurant, you would think, wouldn't be able to do well here at Airport and 65. But we have seen time and time again, business owners move in, and it just ain't working for one reason or the other. Well, then you get a tenant who says, I'm moving in. And this is someone who's had success in making restaurants work in specific or similar locations. You just have to bank that these people have a different head on their shoulders and they're going to be able to figure this out. And that's the case with Zoyer Sports and Entertainment. You say, hey, look at what they're doing in Savannah.
Yep.
Look in Jacksonville. You have some rivalries that can be played around here, too, with the Pensacola Ice Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
And why not, I guess? And if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. But I don't think that the Mobile Arena is fully dependent on the Mobile Mystics being an out-of-this-world hit.
But that would be...
It would only help.
That would help.
Yeah.
That would help a lot. Andy Kaufman's the CEO of Zoyer Sports. So he does most of the talking for them. He says their focus is on group sales. Group sales is what provides sustainability, sustainable success. And that's kind of what we do at Zoyer Sports. And clearly, Mobile is primed for long-term sustainable success. We don't come and go away with hockey. We come and stay. So we're excited. So group sales is a big part of it. Like you say, moving the times, certain, you know, the 1 10 a.m. game, which is kind of going to be a novelty.
Mm-hmm.
But it does give you the impression that, like, they're paying attention. They're trying. You know, they're going to give you something that is a little unusual and something that kids can appreciate.
And that's part of it, too. I mean, whether it was the lack of success for the Bay Bears in their final years or, I mean, pick your minor league team here, they're not done marketing when they cut the ribbon.
Right.
That's when the fun starts, right?
That's right.
When the hard work starts. And I think community events and getting players and mascots out to the schools and making sure their faces are seen everywhere around Mobile, that's going to be the key. And continuing to, you know, if they have some of these novelty nights, which it sounds like you have to have as a minor league team in any sport to have success, advertise the heck out of those novelty nights. We could do dollar beer night, dollar dog, you know, things like that. That's what's going to get people to go downtown on a Tuesday night.
There you go.
In order to watch a little hockey.
Kaufman says he calls it a platform to bring the community together, celebrate the community, he said. So each night, he says, they have 30 home games, and each night will be, think of it this way, as an organization, it looks like they are taking every night and every date with their, they've got a game, an event, because there's going to be events around the game. I think they're going to be very intentional what that's all about. Hmm. Each night they want it to be, if it's the only night you come.
A special night.
A special night where you're compelled to, wow, now that was something. Or, wow, I didn't expect that. Or, wow, that made me feel good. So whatever they're going to do in those other cities, they'll probably try to do the same thing here, but of course adjust it to the culture and the people of Mobile. I like the fact that they're talking it up in a way where they're like, look, we're going to give you 30 opportunities to come judge us, and we're going to be ready every time.
Yeah.
They're kind of putting the onus back on them.
Yeah, I could see them having some success, but a lot of you don't think so. Let's see. Troy Fan said if the city of Mobile were giving away something, 2,000 showing up would be a start. Yeah, that's for sure. Squirrel Vereen says people don't know how to go to events for the event. They constantly get up and get food, but if they're paying for the tickets and taking pictures to tag on social media, apparently that is not enough. Sean says October, let's see, he said that would be great. My beer league season ended in April and I won't get back on the ice until October in Pensacola. Having a summer league would be awesome. Another, those of us who were kids when the Mystics were here are excited about them coming back. I could be wrong, but I bet most of the people who went to the unveiling and or bought tickets are between 35 and 47 years old. You know what? Maybe you're right, because I'm very fired up about this. I bet that age range of adults now who have their own families, mm-hmm. they were kids going to the Mystics games.
Yeah, and it was taken away from them.
Holds a certain spot in their memory, right?
Yeah. There were, and I'd say even older, there were many Mystics fans that were very passionate about the team, who were cohorts of mine in radio. And, you know, so they'd be closer even to my age. So, you know, y'all can do the math. I'm old. It's 822 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. And we'll get a look at the latest from Kane's traffic is coming up.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Speaking of turning up your voice.
Yeah, we'll turn up the phone line at 251-343-0106. And on the phone, we have our good friend CB Carl. Good morning, CB.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing good.
We're good. What you got for us today?
Well, I make the same complaint every year at Independence Day, and I want to get it out there again this time, and I want to use a quote from Laura.
Okay.
It's not the 4th of July, it's Independence Day. People keep running around saying 4th of July, that's just a number on the calendar, and like Laura said, calling Independence Day the 4th of July is almost as ridiculous as calling Christmas the 25th of December.
Yeah. Wow. I never heard that. If you've called that in the past, Carl, I've missed it. So,
no, I haven't called y'all, but I go around. People get aggravated at me with store when they say Happy 4th of July, and I say, you're talking about Independence Day, right? And
yeah.
They look at me funny.
Yeah, and you
people
know,
look at me funny anyway.
I was going to say, Carl, they don't just look at you funny in that instance.
Yeah. Hey, did you like my truck, man?
I loved
the ugly little truck.
Yeah, CB Carlson and me, image of a truck, had the Bible verse on the back. And tell me a little bit more about that, CB.
It's John 15:13. And the verse is, there is no greater love than one to lay down their life for a friend.
Wow.
And
you have that.
That's what I put it on the back of my truck. I put John 15:13 in big letters, and then I put it underneath, made 250 years happen.
Yeah. I love that. And a couple American flags on the tailgate, too. Yeah, that's awesome, CB Carl. We appreciate your call this morning, man.
All right, man. Y'all have a great day.
Happy Independence Day. Yeah, I've had that drilled into my brain, I feel like, since before I could walk.
Really?
Call it Independence Day. And then especially once I began here, which, heck, that was we're talking 14 years ago at this point, just about, that I've been at FM Talk 106.5. Sean Sullivan's been big on that forever, too. So, and I feel I agree, because saying the 4th of July, I mean, that kind of – I understand it. I still call it the 4th of July from time to time, but it kind of minimizes the importance of the holiday.
It certainly does.
You almost make it sound like Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, 4th of July. Yeah.
But Independence Day gives it a certain, gravitas.
I've never heard that argument before. It does make total sense to me now, and especially coming from a guy like CB Carl, who we know bleeds red, white, and blue.
Yes,
he does. Somebody who served and somebody who loves this country.
Now, part of the red that he bleeds might be that hot pepper jelly, but it's because he makes so much of it and makes it so good.
Yeah.
That's CB Carl for you.
Sometimes I'll have that jelly and I'm bleeding from all over.
Backstrap Stacker says, price for a suite at the new arena is pricey. $100,000 per year. I did not see that. That's quite the ticket. How much will parking be? Not sure. You know, it'll be in the new parking garage.
You like the parking garage, right?
I do love the parking garage. Nice wide spaces. We'll get some more texts here, including Jason asking about that birthright citizenship SCOTUS ruling and when we can expect that. Get to that and more as Mobile Mornings continue.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
8:35 now on Mobile Mornings. Time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine. How are things over at McConnell Automotive? I'm sure you guys have a big week ahead of you here.
That's right. We're going to be, the front end's going to be open all week. And, you know, we had a holiday on the weekend, but man, it's hot. And the deals are hot. The weather's hot. We got 0% on half ton trucks. We got great selection of 3/4 ton trucks. Y'all want to get the boat out this weekend and you need a new truck to pull it? We got it. We got a few Yukons out here I'm sitting here looking at. And, I mean, it's just happening here on Dolphin Street.
Yeah, it sure is. And if people don't already know, well, you got great deals at McConnell Automotive, but when you go shopping at the end of the month like we are now for June, an even better chance to get a good deal there. And you certainly have the rides that people want.
That's right. You can check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. I mean, on the used car side, we were talking about it Friday. We have, like I said, and I've said it before, we've got more cars here to sell. Any kind of vehicle you want, from Lexus, Toyota, Nissan, the whole nine yards. So just look online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Dana Dalton on the text line. Our friend Trip Pittman says, I agree with CB. Independence Day, or actually the recognized Declaration of Independence Day, gaining our independence took seven more years to win on the battlefields. God bless America. Liberty requires eternal vigilance. Mm-hmm. Agree with all of that. Thank you, Tripp.
Joe said, I think the Mystics did very well until Pensacola and Biloxi got teams. Lost a lot of traffic after that. Yeah, I'm sure, especially with Pensacola and all the military there coming from all over, including a lot of big hockey fans. Joel says, I'm still dumbfounded by the fact that we don't have a big national freaking aquarium right here in Baldwin County or Mobile. It blows me away. He said, I think a big old aquarium with sea shows and stuff going on would have a bigger attendance than hockey. This is the Gulf Coast. We're on the Gulf of America. Jason says, do we think we have any chance at the birthright citizenship SCOTUS ruling going our way? Or will John Roberts sell out again? That's a big question. And, you know, this is the week, right? After this, Supreme Court, they're off for the summer. They're expecting, like always, the biggest decision or decisions to be made there at the end of the term. And that birthright citizenship one is the one we're waiting for. The best theory I've seen that it'll be a conservative court making a conservative call here is because it hasn't leaked to this point, that if a case that big. Now, the Supreme Court, they're known for not leaking, right? Until
they were
the Roe v. Wade decision. I guess that's about 2 years ago at this point, or longer.
One of the biggest ones they had, and it did get leaked, and there's been there was some sort of an investigation, but nothing ever got close to pinning it down on anybody, and that's, give me a break.
And the way the winds are blowing on this, you did get a couple of Trump wins on immigration last week.
You did?
And maybe that indicates that the court will kind of side the same way here, but with Amy Coney Barrett and even Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, and especially Roberts, like you said, just don't know how that's going to go. I do have a feeling I know how Alito and Clarence Thomas will vote on that birthright citizenship, but we'll have to see this week if they have that answer.
Well, there's almost kind of like not a gang war, but on the Supreme Court, it'd be very unflattering to talk about gang violence on the Supreme Court. But there's we understand there are factions there, but it kind of got a little out of hand last week with the rulings that favored Trump.
Yeah, one of the immigration decisions that Alito wrote the ruling for, he just gave the summary, right? It was dozens of pages, and he just read a little short piece. And then I think it was Sotomayor delivering the rebuttal.
It was her.
And she read through her entire 37-page decision.
Yeah.
And after that, he was like rolling it. He goes, if I'd known that you were going to read your entire thing, I would have read mine too.
I know.
Joshua says, Mobile only wants to Mardi Gras. They do not want baseball or hockey. How many snowbirds do you think moved to DIP and Pritchard? Well, I don't think that that Oakview and Zollier are depending on getting all of their customers from parts of Mobile. I think they really need some big Baldwin County numbers, and that's part of what they're banking on here.
Yeah, I mean, they can see the demographics as easily as anybody. We understand it is ice hockey. It is a winter sport, and it's enjoyed more naturally by people who actually get a chance to play the game, and that's why that second rink is probably going to play a big role in this.
Yeah, pretty big part of their plans. This texter said, Dalton, don't forget about the Mississippi Seawolves. That's a very big rivalry. Yeah, but I think they're in separate
different leagues. Yeah, different league.
Mobile is going to be in the Southern Professional Hockey League, and I forget which one the Mississippi team is, but I don't think they're in the same one.
It might be in the Eastern, which Mobile used to be in.
Yeah, that might be the case. And Tim says, do you guys know anything about what's going on in Orange Beach? They were filling a city council vacancy. We're talking about filling it in, the mayor that Kennan flew off the handle. So the city council, they're going after Kennan for the way they say he was treating them during all of the
investigation
into the body cam footage from down at the beach where he was allegedly striking a woman. And then that bubbled up with filling a council seat last week. That'll be something we get into more next week as well. Coming up, Desi Tobias joins us for Law 251. And welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. And pleasure to have not one, but two of the attorneys from Tobias and Comer Law in studio with us this morning on Mobile Mornings. Desi Tobias and Lacey Smith, thank you both so much for coming in today.
Thank you, Dalton. Great to see you again.
Love Law 251, of course. And I've learned so much over the years talking with you guys about a manner of different things. And it's good to have both of you in at the same time. I keep reminding people, too, you know, we've done so many of these now. I say basically any question, any legal question you may have, I think we've just about covered it on all of our Law 251. So we have a lot of great archives, and you can find those at TobiasComerLaw.com, the Law 251 podcasts. But great to have you both in today. And I figured, why not talk about something that was recently in the news? And that's a verdict that came in earlier this month and regarding something tragic that happened up in Birmingham. A federal jury earlier this month awarded $7.5 million in punitive damages to the family of Reginald Adams. And Adams was an 18-year-old, had recently graduated from Pelham High School, and died after he drowned at River Chase Country Club in Hoover. And this happened back in 2023, August of 2023. Desi, for people who may not have seen the story, I know I talked about it some on Mobile Mornings once that news story broke, but can you kind of walk us through what that case was about?
Yeah, we like to say the case was as tragic as it was simple. Reginald was with several of his friends. One of them was a member at River Chase. They decided to go swim. There was a Shelby County regulation that applied, just like the permitting for a restaurant was the same as a pool, required them to have two certified lifeguards. And this was kind of the end of the summer, August 22 of 23. Some of the lifeguards had gone back. They chose to go without lifeguards and to basically ignore that rule that required two certified lifeguards. Hmm. And they had a slide. It was 12 feet deep. Reginald went down the slide, and his friends looked at him, and he wasn't surfacing. They weren't really concerned at first. Then he went to the bottom, and there were a number of bystanders. There were 7-8 attempts to get him, go down there to get them. Some people risked their own life, but it was 7-8 minutes by the time he was able to surface. And somebody knew something about CPR. One of the members, he tried to resuscitate Reginald and couldn't. So. Mm. Very tragic, and we learned a lot and put on a lot in the trial about water safety and its importance, what lifeguards do, what they're trained to do, what the signs of drowning are, and how all of that could have made a difference here to save Reginald's life. And we're gratified by the jury's result. Because it does show how important it is. And if anything, we can tell the listeners out there, whenever you're around water, it's quick, it's simple, it can happen. At any kind of thought, take action and be aware.
Yeah, that is that's some great information there. And to have those two basically witnesses or the experts in that, I'm sure you learned a lot from that. You mentioned the two lifeguards that should have been there. And I know in a lot of the reporting on this story, when you guys would speak with the media or maybe it was in court, you mentioned public safety rules exist for a reason. And Lacey, I know Desi kind of touched on it there, but what were the safety rules that were kind of at the center of this case?
Sure. As Desi mentioned, it was the Shelby County Board of Health that passed these rules, and they had the force of Alabama law, even though they were local to Shelby County. But essentially, the Board of Health and Shelby County officials determined that pools with 12-foot depth of water present a special risk. You know, there's in most cases, depending on the age, but you don't see regulations requiring lifeguards at 5-foot pools or 6-foot pools. But 12 feet, to anybody who's ever, you know, done the typical thing in the summer and gone down to the bottom of one, there's a lot of pressure there. And it's just more difficult to navigate even for experienced swimmers. So the county determined that two lifeguards should have been there. The rule specifically stated that pools of this size and depth at River Chase were supposed to have two elevated lifeguard chairs which did exist at the pool. And I think one of the most effective pieces of evidence we had is the photo of the empty lifeguard chair, you know, sitting over the direct spot where Reginald went to the bottom of the pool and couldn't resurface. So it was for situations just like the one that presented on the day that Reginald drowned. He went down to the bottom of the pool, and for reasons that are still unknown, he didn't have any comorbidities or nothing showed up in his talk screen or anything like that. So he just wasn't able to resurface. And so lifeguards, the rules were also specific that it had to be Red Cross certified lifeguard. So that's specific training, both on, you know, monitoring swimmers and, you know, for example, watching everyone that comes off the slide and making sure they timely resurface. So in this case, a lifeguard, had they just simply been in the chairs like the rules required, would have been watching and would have jumped into action sooner than the bystanders. Again, their rescue attempts would have been more effective because they have training to retrieve, you know, 100-pound or 10-pound bags or whatever it is. They have training to do deep water rescues successfully. And then once you get them to the surface, how to effectively perform CPR. So at every step of this case, the lifeguards could have intervened and would have intervened under their training and would have saved Reginald.
And, you know, we've, and so many times we've talked about other cases you guys have worked in, it certainly includes this one, how difficult it can be emotionally, because you're talking with people who either their lives have been drastically affected personally or a member of their family. But we talk about Reginald here, just graduated high school. That's when you're, you know, your life is kind of starting. It's another spot to start your life. And I know his mother, Elaine, just what she must be going through. And I know she reached out to you guys, but this, the punitive damages, I wanted to talk about that. And the jury awarded $7.5 million in punitive damages. Desi, in wrongful death cases in Alabama, what is the purpose of punitive damages?
The purpose is, it is unique. It's unique to Alabama, and it doesn't focus on the person who died or what their compensatory worth was or whatever, even though Reginald was a fine young man and had his life ahead of him. But it's to deter future wrongdoing of this type. It's to preserve the sanctity of human life. And that's what one reason I'm glad to talk to you now, and Lacey and I, is that we're here to send a message about the sanctity of life in terms of what measures can be taken to prevent something like this from happening again. And just to talk about it, whether it's lifeguards or not, is to present an awareness of what can happen and how quickly things can go badly. But that's what it was about. And there are certain parameters that, you know, the courts look at in terms of the amount of punitive damages. But we were pleased with the amount that was entered. We asked the jury for $1 million for every attempt a bystander made that a lifeguard should have made, and that was between 7 and 8. And so I think that was kind of the message that they wanted to send, and the emotions of it. You know, I often like to talk. I've tried over 100 cases, but that moment when you hear that you've got a verdict, and I'm sitting there, and Lacey and I are both sitting there with the mother of this child that meant everything to her, this 18-year-old boy, and are they going to come back and rule against us? Are we going to win? And you know how it works, where the foreman comes in with the verdict and that's given to the judge and it's read. And I'm always relieved when we get a good result, but I can't remember feeling this gratified and this happy for a client like this to have that kind of an emotional moment.
Yeah, and I know you guys take, I mean, every case personally. I could see you wear it on your shoulders, and it just means so much to you. And Lacey,
yeah. And if I could just add to that, you know, in this case in particular, and I think Desi's touched on this, but the message from the country club was that Reginald knew the risk of getting in this pool. They hung a sign saying there were no lifeguards, and yet he chose to do it anyway. So for Miss Elaine to have sat there and heard that defense for a four-day trial, you know, a verdict in the favor of the country club would have essentially placed the blame for Reginald's death at his own feet. And as a mother, I can't imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was emotional for all of us. It was certainly emotional for Miss Elaine, and she's got incredible strength to have gone through this. And I think we'd also be remiss to say, I mean, some of the testimony from the bystanders was emotional because, you know, they witnessed their friend drowning and dying and all these multiple attempts to save him and just the panic that was involved in that. You could really see some of the emotion on the witnesses' faces, but certainly for Miss Elaine, this was a personal case and a personal victory.
Yeah, and I know you were quoted as saying that the family was looking for some accountability and some answers. How important do you feel it is for families to have someone who's willing to dig into what happened? I mean, they're just looking for someone to help, right? And that, like Miss Elaine was.
Right, they just want an advocate. You know, these are our clients are people that face unimaginable circumstances or personal losses. And so it is very gratifying for us professionally to get a result like this. You know, again, Miss Elaine was very strong through the trial. There were times that she had to step out, and we explained that to the jury. I mean, there are certain parts of this trial that we don't want her to actually have to sit through.
I imagine.
But, you know, she and certain parts that she did sit through, there were emotions there, but she was very poised and handled herself very well, and I think that was reflected in the jury's verdict.
Desi, this case involved a lot of work for your team, and I know you spent quite a bit of time up there during all of this. Can you talk some about how the team effort, what it took from Tobias and Comer Law, and what you put into this?
Elaine is from Mobile. She actually worked in the court system here, and which is how I first became connected with her, and that was within a week or so after the death. And so from that point forward, we've had this focus on this case. And I don't know, 15, 16, 18 depositions, we have put a lot of time and effort into it. And cases, you know, just like a football game, they have their ups and downs. And, you know, you have high moments and low moments. But, you know, we were there throughout the entire time. What was very interesting is we found two experts, one an emergency medicine physician who also specializes in water rescue and things such as that. Very interesting what he had to say and some of the statistics about it. And then a lifeguard expert, one of the top in the country. And so we put all of that into making this, you know, our burden, you know, showing the jury that this would have made a difference. And it all went towards that. But it was a and then it culminates in this trial after all those years of preparation and briefing and testimony and depositions. It culminates in this trial, which brings a resolution, and you want it to be one that you can live with. And as lawyers, we do everything we can to have that result that we think is the right result.
And finally, as we kind of wrap things up for this segment, what message would you give to families who feel like they're not getting answers after a serious incident? What's that conversation like once hopefully they give you a call? But what message would you give to families who maybe have something similar to this going on in their lives?
Yeah, you know, that's our purpose in our law practice, is to help victims of personal injury and accidents. And you always hope to avoid that. And, you know, most people, especially in the South, you know, don't want to think that they will ever be in a situation where they're going to need a lawyer or will have to go sue someone. But when those situations hit home, you do want to find that accountability and hold people responsible for it. So it's important to reach out to attorneys, particularly experienced attorneys like us at Tobias and Comer. You know, we've handled wrongful death cases, product liability, those sorts of things. But getting a lawyer involved early can help you preserve evidence and plan a course of action that doesn't always have to end in filing a lawsuit, but at least you have that guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And like Desi said, we try to be there every step of the way for our clients.
And of course, you know, such a big part of this, I mean, the case was about a drowning. And here we are, summertime, mm-hmm. down on the Gulf and swimming time of season. Just a reminder, and you were mentioning it there, how quickly that can happen and how unassuming drowning can be so often. You think someone might just be, you know, down there swimming around, and it could be much more tragic than that.
Yeah, that's one of the things we try to convey is it's quick, quiet, and subtle. Hmm. And so the awareness, even if there is a lifeguard, to be aware of what's going on, how quickly it can change, and everybody knows the danger. People sometimes make an assumption or whatever that people are safe or I don't need to look at this, but it can happen in a moment.
It sure can. Well, I thank you both for coming in this morning. Another edition of Law 251. For people right now listening that want to get more information about Tobias and Comer Law, TobiasComerLaw.com. Great website. We have our podcast up there. You have tons of resources and information on just about everything anyone could be looking for. But that phone number too, so 251-432-5001, people can call that 24/7, right?
Correct. Anytime. We're always happy to just discuss and consult, to give advice. You know, sometimes that's what somebody needs to hear as well, that mm-hmm. this may not be something, or maybe it is, or we'll at least get to the bottom of that so you have some type of resolution in that regard.
Well, thank you both again for coming in. That's Desi Tobias and Lacey Smith with Tobias and Comer Law and another edition of Law 251. And that does it for Mobile Mornings. Coming up next, the Jeff Poor Show right here on FM Talk 106.5.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of your wife.